You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
On the second day of this year, a discouraging report was released in a Midwestern state by top educators who have been studying social trends. For the past 7 years, this prestigious group of concerned educators has predicted with a high degree of accuracy crises which eventually materialized. And now their most recent report, covered also by the Chicago Tribune, states that there are, and I quote, ample indicators that the American family is in deep trouble. The report went on to raise other key elements by stating that at least 40% of all children born in 1987 will experience the scarring effects of divorce. These professional educators were also discouraged to learn that only one woman, that's right, only one woman in every 1,000 who is a college freshman plans a career as a homemaker. The issue of the troubled family has become of such importance that both political parties are trying to take advantage of the crises. In upcoming elections, political strategists are already planning to make the crisis in the family a national issue. This, however, may not work. According to a professional writer for a Chicago-based newspaper, trying to reestablish traditional family values goes directly against the rapidly changing value system of our society. And it also goes against the attitude that many parents have today. A large number of husbands and wives today do not want to sacrifice for their children. Parents are increasingly self-centered. They want to do their own thing, even if it destroys their marriage and their family. In the words of the article from the Chicago Tribune, these self-serving parents want to have it all in their own way. And so then we must ask, is this assessment of the immediate future of our society discouraging? Oh, indeed, it certainly could be. And as our morals disintegrate and as our family traditions are rejected, the number of victims shall certainly increase dramatically. More and more children, teenagers, and adults will stumble their way to their last resort of hope and help, the offices of clergymen. Therefore, this message today, while fitting for all Christians, has been prepared primarily for the encouragement of the clergy. Knowing this, let no one be surprised to hear dedicated clergy say, "Sometimes my work seems so hopeless. I try to do the best I can, but the more I do, the more there seems needed to be done. Are these problems ever going to end? Are the social conditions ever going to turn around and begin improving?" If you are one of these clergy or Christian leaders, and if you feel discouraged by your insurmountable task, if what you do seems to make very little difference, and if sometimes you feel ready to give up, then listen to the Word of God found in the book of Corinthians dedicated to you. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Hearing these faith-strengthening words, many will no doubt ask, where did St. Paul receive such a powerful confession of confidence? Clergy and church leaders all over the world would love to possess the unflagging zeal daily demonstrated by this great missionary. St. Paul received his courage and strength from the living Word of God. And a more complete answer is found in the beginning of the same chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. St. Paul states, "Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you," St. Paul states, "as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that Jesus was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and to the 12. After that, Jesus Christ, after He rose from the cold grave, appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. This clear confession of reliable historical facts immediately demolishes all the silly arguments that Jesus was not victoriously raised from the dead. 500 people, yes, my friend, 500 people at one time saw Jesus Christ after His resurrection from the dead. Is there any wonder then that St. Paul, basing his counsel to fellow Christian and clergy on the Easter miracle, can say, "Therefore, because of the absolute certainty of the resurrection, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Christian pastors, God-fearing teachers, and other dedicated workers in the vineyard of the Blessed Savior, even though you may be tempted to discouragement by the cunning, whispering voice of the devil, listen instead to the inspired words of the Holy Scriptures. Don't let up on your desire and your determination to serve the crucified and resurrected Savior. When demonic doubts assail you, then confess to the Lord in fervent prayer, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." And then with a new devil-defeating and spirit-born confidence, agree with St. Paul that you are determined to preach and teach nothing other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Indeed, God has given us psychologists, psychiatrists, and other professional individuals to assist us in working through some of our daily frustrations. These professions are blessings from the Lord. However, one element, the total removal of the wrenching burden of the guilty conscience, can never be removed through any of man's most professional efforts. Perfect pardon and total forgiveness was purchased on the blood-stained crucifixion cross of Calvary. When Jesus Christ died, full payment for your sin was accomplished. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all of our sin. The writer of the book of Hebrews was absolutely correct when he stated unequivocally, "Without the shedding of the blood, there can be no forgiveness." Pastors, teachers, missionaries, evangelists, Christian doctors and nurses, no matter how difficult your task may seem, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, how crucial this Christ-centered faith and knowledge becomes as you labor among the downtrodden and the weary. Clergy, mount the pulpit this next Sunday with the fire of Jeremiah in your bones and the true compassion of Christ in your heart. As you look out over the occupied pews and as you see the fixed focus of numerous eyes, don't see them as ready critics for your work, but instead as ones which desire to say to you, "We wish to see Jesus." And then, especially during this Lenten season, a time when we recall the terrible sufferings and death of the Savior, with courage and conviction, proclaim from your pulpits and from your teaching podiums that there is a hope even for the most discouraged. True faith in Jesus Christ is like the seed of a mighty oak tree. When this faith is nourished with the living Word, it grows and grows and matures into a fortress faith that is capable of withstanding even the devil's most malicious onslaughts. You clergy who are looking down and defeated, listen to the words of the Blessed Redeemer. Jesus is speaking directly to you when He says, "Lift up your heads." And then, beginning today, with newfound faith and Christ-centered courage, say with the hymn writer, "I know my faith is founded on Jesus Christ, my God and Lord. And this my faith confessing, unmoved, I stand upon His word. Man's reason cannot fathom the truth of God profound, who trusts her subtle wisdom, relies on shifting ground. God's word is all sufficient. It makes divinely sure, and trusting in its wisdom, my faith shall rest secure." With this confession of faith on your lips, God will enable you to meet and overcome all the frustrations of your ministry. With this profession of faith embedded deeply in your heart, a new joy of serving the King of Kings shall certainly flow forth from your day-to-day toil for the Good Shepherd. Oh yes, with this resurrection-based knowledge in your mind, your people shall hear from your lips the powerful truth of the Holy Gospel as St. Paul so clearly set it forth. For I deliver to you, St. Paul says, as of first importance what I also received, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Oh yes, my friend, it was the conviction that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, and it was the total trustworthiness of this glorious message which was the driving force behind the life of the famous Scottish missionary David Livingstone. David Livingstone was born in Scotland in 1813. His parents were very, very poor. Along with six other brothers and sisters, he was raised in a one-room tenement next to a cotton mill where his father worked. At the age of 10, imagine this, at the age of 10, out of necessity to help support the family, David Livingstone also began to work at the factory from 6 in the morning until 8 in the evening, 14 grueling hours a day, with only a brief lunch period, which was often done on the run. Livingstone, from his first month's pay, at the age of 10, bought for himself a Latin grammar and began to study. He read everything he could get his hands on. He hoped to become a medical missionary to China, and so he began to study Greek, theology, and medicine, all the while still working at the factory. Finally, he made arrangements to go to China, but his plans were changed by the outbreak of the Opium War, and instead he went directly to Africa. For 30 years, David Livingstone labored in Africa. He traveled 29,000 miles. He added a new territory of 1 million square miles to the known world. David Livingstone went to regions never before explored by a white man. He set up church services, he read the Bible to the natives, and he established schools. At the end of those grueling years, his daily journal records the hardships David Livingstone gladly endured for the love of his Savior. On April 10, 1873, as Livingstone was nearing his very last days on this earth, he wrote in his diary, "I am pale, I am weak, and I am bleeding profusely. How I long to finish my work." On April 20th, he writes, "I am excessively weak." On April 30th, he was too weak to see any visitors. And at 4 a.m. the next morning, when some of his black friends went into the tent to check on his condition, they found Dr. Livingstone kneeling at his bedside in prayer. As they came closer, they found the body of one of the world's greatest missionaries cold in death. Dr. Livingstone worked under the most difficult and dangerous conditions, and yet he persevered, steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, because he knew that his toil was not in vain in the Lord. And so, my friend, for those days when you feel physically weary in doing your ministry, let's always remember the conditions under which Dr. Livingstone worked. He had no motor vehicle. He carried no penicillin or other miracle drug. There were no motels or way stations. The habitations he and his co-workers worked and slept in were carved out of the jungle by the sweat of the brow. To get his education, Livingstone worked 14 grueling hours a day, many times with his book open alongside of the cotton loom. If you are a young person today and thinking about the possibility of serving full-time in the Lord's kingdom, let the sacrifice and dedication of Dr. Livingstone be for you an inspiration and a role model. Decide today. Decide today that even if it means undertaking years and years of work and study, you are going to commit your life to serving your Savior as a pastor, a Christian teacher, or a missionary. There is no more noble task in the whole world. Jesus said, "The fields are white unto harvest, and the laborers are few." If you are a young person, don't delay. Consider preparing yourself today. If you are interested in becoming a pastor, a Christian teacher, or a missionary, be sure to write us, and I will personally assist you in every way that I possibly can. The gospel message is so important that we must do everything in our power to ensure that laborers are prepared for the harvest of souls. And so you clergy today, committed to the cross of Christ, and for all you God-fearing teachers and those of you missionaries serving on the foreign fields, let the Spirit of God bring a new surge of power to your life and ministry, and may the excitement for the gigantic task before you be even greater than when God graciously called and launched you into His glorious service. Oh, my friend, let every frustration be a challenge, and accept all criticism in humility, and see it as an opportunity to improve your way of serving the Savior. Remember the words of the Blessed Redeemer, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life," Jesus said, "shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's shall save it." And so today, may I take this opportunity to urge all those of you who are serving full-time in the Lord's kingdom, especially the clergy, to raise up the banner of Christ. Let us go forth with the knowledge that even if the worst should come, then we shall be ushered into the glorious and joy-filled mansions of heaven. All of our courage, all of our confidence, yes, all of our conviction is based not on some passing emotional feeling, but on that glorious, history-shaking, life-transforming knowledge established by God and set forth clearly by St. Paul, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that Jesus was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And so, my friends, especially you clergy and missionaries, relaunch your boat of faithful service to the Lord this week with great joy and unsuppressible conviction. Preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the only hope of the world. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And always know, yes, always know, that your toil, your labor, your work is never in vain when it is done in the Lord. May God grant this hope, this conviction, this courage, and this joy to your heart today. Amen.